right, we're going to slip on back to the book of Judges, 7th chapter of the book of Judges. A lot going on in Gideon's life, and I hope you've enjoyed the lessons about Gideon. Gideon is just, you know, he's a real inspiration when you really look at his life. And God, I think, has through his life has taught us many principles. And that's what we've tried to do, is to point out principles in the Word of God that are there. God put them there, and they're to help us. They're not just history. It's for us, and we can learn. And last week, as I remember, we was talking about where God brought them, or Gideon had gathered 32,000 in his army, and God said that's too many. And we talked about the fact of pride. God said Israel would vaunt itself. In other words, they would say they did it themselves if he used 32,000. And so he cut it then. He said those that are afraid, they must leave. And that was 22,000 of them, left 10,000. And then God, as you remember, we spent most of last week, as I remember, talking about alertness. Brought them down to the water, and they picked, some of them just got down on their faces and began to drink. That was 9,700 of them did that. And 300 of them picked the water up in their hands and began to lap it, and drink out of their hands, where they could still be alert and look and watch. And it's amazing to me. I don't know if you ever give it a lot of thought, but just think about that. Just the way a man drank water, God judged what he would be. That's amazing. I don't know. I got to think about that. You know, there's a lot of little things that we do that I think God keeps an eye on. Don't you? I really do. And it's amazing, because he said them 300 of them, that's the ones I want to take, and they're the ones that's going to be your army. And so they gathered together there. And Israel, of course, had been tormented by the Midianites for 7 years. God came along and chose Gideon to be the one that was going to deliver Israel from this Midianites. And so God gives him, and he appoints Gideon, first of all, as the leader, the one that's going to lead him, and then he gives him 300 men in his army. That's sure not very many. I'd just like to go ahead and kind of give you an illustration here of how many that is, and compared to what the army was. We'll read verse number 12. Let's just read it now. He says, "And the Midianites and the Amalekites and all the children of the east lay along in the valley like grasshoppers for multitude, and their camels were without number as the sand by the seaside for multitude." This was a massive army. And I don't, you know, and so I think probably we could understand a little bit maybe how Gideon must have felt when he looked down into that valley and saw all of those. The camels were without number. The armies were great. They gathered together. And this was really overwhelming, I think. And so God understood, the Lord knew that Gideon still had some fear in him about going. And we're going to read verse number 9 and verse 10. "And it came to pass the same night that the Lord said unto him, Arise, get thee down into the host, for I have delivered it into thy hand. But if thou fear to go down, go thou with Purah thy servant down to the host." And he said, did you notice he said, "But if thou fear." God knew that there was still a fear in Gideon. And I look back, if it had been me, I'd probably been shaking in my boots. And looking down at that massive, massive army, and I look at my army and it's 300 men. That's kind of a scary thing. And God knew there was still some fear there. But I want to say something to you. I've found out when God asks us to do something that seems to be overwhelming, and sometimes he does, he always gives encouragement along the way as you're doing it. And we're going to get into that and explain that. But God gives encouragement to you. I look back on my life as a pastor, and there's been times when, you know, major things was going to happen. We was going to, remember when we was going to, I was going to be the pastor that started Blessed Hope Baptist Church. And I want to tell you something. I needed encouragement, and God gave me encouragement along the way. I remember the time when we made a decision to start the school here. 1977, we started the school. And I still remember, scared to death, a little bit of fear like Gideon had. You know, what are we doing? How are we going to do all of this? But God gave me encouragement all through it. And I just want you to know, when God asks us to do something that seems to be overwhelming, you might call it a mission impossible, as Gideon's was, God always, always gives his assurance of his presence. That's why Moses, back when he was taking the children through the wilderness, he told the Lord that unless the Lord went with him, he didn't want to go. And I will say to you and I, that's a good principle. Unless the Lord goes with us, it's just better we don't go. We need him. We need his presence. But as I said, God is always there to encourage and help us as we go. I know something. I've read the Bible. I've read it to front to end. I know who wins. You know, I know that. I know that Jesus Christ triumphs. He's already done that on the cross, but he's going to completely win. And that battle of Armageddon, he's going to destroy his enemies. But at the same time, along the way, it's just kind of fearful sometimes of what goes on. There's just a lot going on in America today. But I know who's going to win. I know Satan's doom. I know where he ends up at. He ends up in the lake of fire. You understand? But I'm just saying, along the way, sometimes he sure does cause some problems. And you know, and tribulation. And so along the way, we need the assurance from the Lord that he's with us. Now, what I've found out, and as I said, and we'll get into this in just a minute, but I've found out along the way, God uses so many things as an encouragement. I find, in fact, Dave Liffick was my prayer partner last month, and Dave always prayed. He'll pray and pray about the Lord and all those things, and he'll say, "Thank you for the church you've given us." I don't know about you, but I think that's a marvelous thing, because you know what? That's an encouragement to me. The church as a whole is an encouragement to me. And it ought to encourage us, the individual believers along the way has been a tremendous encouragement to this pastor. I'll just go back years and years ago to a lady by the name of Ruth Johnson. Many of you never knew Ruth Johnson. Many of you did. But one day, it had been, you know, after she had started this a long time, and something happened, and she said, "Pastor, I just want you to know something. I stay up till midnight every night and start the day praying for you." That's what she told me. She was an older lady. Set up and waited till after midnight and started the day off praying for me. Now, how can you get any better than that? Amen? And how many times have I, down through the years, just had someone walk up to me and say, "Prayed for you. Been praying for you." Eileen Liffey has done that quite often. She'll come up and she'll say, "Felt impressed to pray for you this week more than I usually do, and I prayed for you." Now, do I think because you didn't tell me that you don't pray for me? No, I don't think that. I'm just saying. But God gives encouragement along the way. Amen. Isn't it a marvelous thing? And there's probably not a person in here that somewhere along the line someone said to you, I've been praying for you. And it's an encouragement. It's a blessing, you see. Well, God sends that. God sends these encouragements along the way, you see. And then we have the privilege of having godly music. I'll walk into our home a lot of times, and Donna's got some kind of CD on there playing good gospel music. Good gospel music. And it's playing in our household, ringing through our house, you know, and she's a humming and a whistling sometimes, and she's encouraged in the Lord. And you know, we're blessed. And then sometimes I'll walk in, she's got the radio on, maybe when she likes to hear this Brother Gomez. Do you guys listen to Brother Gomez up out of Providence? Providence School up there. And he preaching, she likes him. He just preaches up a storm, you know. And so I walk in and I say, who in the world is this man preaching in my house? Huh? And she said, that's Brother Gomez, honey. You know, and she's encouraged in the Lord. She's heard a good message. And what I'm saying to you is there's much encouragement out here that the Lord sends us. And then, of course, anytime you want to, you can sit down and pick up the Word of God and begin to read. And you can read things like, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. No matter the trouble, the problems, Lord Jesus says, no, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. It's amazing. So what I'm saying is when God calls us to do certain things, and there's not probably a person in here that he hasn't called to some degree to some hardships. If I begin to name them, I'd miss somebody, and I don't want to do that. But you know what the hardships you've had to face. Yes, you do. You know. And they're not easy. But the Lord sends along encouragements along the way. I'm going to name one. I'm just going to say something. Charles Campbell is sitting back there, and here a few years ago, his daughter, God took her, left a little boy by the name of Charlie. And God said, Charles and Mrs. Charles, take this little boy and begin to raise him. Not an easy thing. At their age, it's not an easy thing. Drives him over here every single day to school. But God says, you can do it. And you know what? I could go through here and start naming. There is people in here that's faced some hardships and difficulties that I probably don't even know anything about. But I'll guarantee you, you're sitting here today because along the way, God has given you encouragement. And God has strengthened you. Well, that's what he was doing to Gideon. Gideon, I know you're fearful. I know that going down to that battle with all of those, I know you're afeared. So I'm going to do something here, and we'll talk about it. I'm going to send you down to the enemy. Now I'm going to let you listen to something. So he goes down to the enemy camp. In verse number 11, he says, "And thou shalt hear what they." Verse 10. But if thou fear to go down, go thou with Phurah, thy servant, down to the host, and thou shalt hear what they say. And afterwards shall thy hands be strengthened to go down into the host. And then went he down unto Phurah, his servant, unto the outside of the armed men that were in the host. And so he goes down to this large army. He goes to the edge of where they're encamped. And then he says, and the Midianites and the Amalekites and all the children of the east lay along in the valley of like grasshoppers, for multitude, and their camels were without number, as the sand by the seaside for multitude. And when Gideon was come, behold, there was a man that told a dream unto his fellow, and said, behold, I dream a dream, and lo, a cake of barley bread tumbled into the host of Midian, and came into a tent, and smote it, that it fell, and overturned it, that the tent lay along. And his fellow answered and said, "This is nothing else save the sword of Gideon, the son of Joash, a man of Israel. For unto his hand hath God delivered Midian and all the host." And it was so, when Gideon heard the telling of the dream and the interpretation thereof, that he worshipped and returned unto the host of Israel, and said, "Arise, for the Lord hath delivered into your hand the host of Midian." What God wants us to do, and this is kind of another principle that I believe is taught here, is God wants us to face our problems head on. He wants us to look them right in the eye instead of running from them, skirting around them. He wants us to face them. So God sends Gideon right down to the enemy. And I believe this was very important, because he got to look the enemy right in the eye. Folks, listen, just let me say this. I've pastored and preached for 40 years now. There is always going to be problems in a church situation. They always will be, because there's humans like me and you in it. There always will be problems. Satan will see to it that there's problems. It isn't the thing to do to run from those problems. It's to face them right head on and deal with them. But as many of you have, you've seen people down through the years, the first thing they want to do when a problem arises, they run. They run away from it. That's not the thing to do. The thing to do is defeat old Satan and face those problems. And like here, God said, "Gideon, go down and look your enemy right in the eye. I'm going to show you some things." Not only that, I've seen over the years. I've seen a lot of things. You have too. You're up there. You got a few years on you, and you've seen a lot of things. But I've seen men working jobs, and problems come up in that job, and the first thing they want to do is quit their job and run somewhere else. It's not the thing to do. You've got to face your problems. Face them and look at them right in the eye. And I realize there's times we had to change jobs. I'm not talking about that. But I'm talking about, I've seen men that just run into a problem as soon as they got into a job, and it isn't very long, they're quitting because they can't face the problem. That's not the thing to do. That's a lot of the times what happens is in marriages. Problems arise. Wherever there's two people, there's going to be some conflicts. Some. You may not say amen, but there's going to be. You don't run from those conflicts. You face them, and you deal with them. You do what you have to do to take care of it. Amen? That's what you do. That's why, you know, we're just old human beings. There ain't much to us. But with God's help, we can face those problems. We got to look them straight in the eye, find out what the problem is, and deal with it. Amen? You agree with that? Sure. So that's what we got to do. Same thing in any troubles in our life. You know, there's just, you know, life is full of trouble. You know, few days, but full of trouble. Amen? That's where Pastor Jerry and I, we got this little thing. He's always talking about it. Troubles are a challenge. I said, I don't find the word challenge in the Bible. I see it as troubles. And we go back and forth. We're just having fun. But the Bible calls them troubles, and they are challenges, but they're just troubles. And you know what? You just got to face them. You can't run from them. I found out something. In life, if there was something in me that God was wanting to change, he brought me face to face with it. And I found out that my tendency, and I think most human tendency, is wanting to skirt around it, not face it. And yet when I did that, down the road, he just smacked me right in the face with the same type of problem until I dealt with it. See, he's trying to change us. Okay? So he lets us face some of those problems and troubles head on until we do face them. See, that's what we got to do. We got to face them, you know, not skirt around them. Got to face them. I've got this little saying I tell people from time to time, because I actually have done this. Best thing in the world to do is go in your bathroom or somewhere like that where there's a big mirror and just look. You'll find most of your problem is right there. I told one person here a while back, you need to go in and stand in front of your mirror for 8 hours and not move. And you need to just look. And you'll find that when you're done, you'll find your problem. Because I literally have done this. Now, not for 8 hours. I don't think I could stand looking at that for 8 hours. But I have went in literally and stood in front of the mirror and said, Lord, there's my problem. And if every single one of us will do that, you'll find out that it's not usually other people. It's right there in that mirror reflecting back at you. You understand? But Gideon, God wanted him to just look at it straight in the eye. In fact, I think I might go back to the book of Hebrews just for a moment. Hebrews, the 12th chapter, I'm sorry. I want you to listen. We're going to start reading at the 5th verse, just kind of with that thought in mind, that we're to face the problems head on, look them right in the eye. We'll start reading in verse number 5. And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. Did you notice there, he said that when we're rebuked of the Lord, he said, don't faint. In other words, the chastisement of God is going to be on every single individual if you're a child of God. Now, do you agree with that? God chastises every one of his children. And he said, don't faint when you're rebuked of the Lord, because God's going to rebuke every single one of us. Yes, he is. And then he's going to get out the whip if he has to, because he scourges every son whom he receiveth. He's good at getting out the whip and just doing some whipping sometimes, because we need it. It's always done in love, always, because that's God. But he says, if you endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterwards it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. God says, if you let chastening do its work, it'll be the best thing could happen to you. It's not, you know, chastening is grievous. It's not fun. But God says, face whatever it is that God is chastening you about and look it right in the eye and let God do something about it. Recognize it as chastening. See what I'm saying? Don't blame everybody else. Look in that mirror. If God is chastening you, then you need to do something about it. I need to do something about it if it's me. Amen? And he's trying to make us better. He's not trying to hurt us or to destroy us. He's trying to make us better. And the way he does it is through chastisement and sometimes through scourging. Amen? See, that's just a good principle for us. Okay? That's not to hurt us, that's to help us. And if we'll just face it and, you know, and find out what is it God's chastening us about, well, let it do its work. Let it change us. Amen? Let us make us better for the Lord. Amen? So that's one of the great things that can happen when we look our problem right in the eye. And I'm very serious about that deal I told you about the mirror. I'm very serious about it. I've never been more serious in my life. Because a real percentage of the time you're going to find the problem when you walk in there and look in that mirror. Get that guy straightened out. Get him straightened out. And you'll be surprised how other things will straighten out. Amen? So we find he wants us just to face our problem. Look at it in the eye. And then you know what we'll find? That problem wasn't as tough as I thought it was. Gideon went down there and seen a whole host of an army. And he says, you know what? I can do this. They're just as scared as I am. God's already got this thing all figured out. It's not that tough. And I'm saying to you, it's not that tough to face our problems and to correct them, get them right. It's just not that tough if we'll just do it, see? And so what happens basically is this. You know, faith grows through tribulation, through problems. Our faith grows when we face them and we come out on the other side, we have a stronger faith. And that's what God was doing for Gideon, sending him down here, look his problem right in the eye, and he came out of there ready to go to battle. Ready to go to battle, see. And, you know, it's interesting because where he was in the sixth chapter of Judges, going back to Judges, sixth chapter, in the 14th verse, no, verse 12, excuse me, and he said, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. See, God had already told him, I'm going to be with you. Look at verse 14. And the Lord looked upon him and said, go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? Again, God says, I'm going with you. You're going to win this battle. See, he'd already been encouraged. He'd already been told. And in fact, if we go over to verse 36, and Gideon said unto God, if thou wilt save Israel by mine hand, as thou hast said. Gideon says, God, I know you said. I know you did. You said you would go with me. You said we'd win the battle. But we find Gideon then going through that fleece thing. We're not going to go back to that. He went through that fleece thing and the doubting and the worrying and all this. And then he comes down to this. And God says, all right, go down to the army. And I'm going to give you something that will really encourage you, help you to understand. And he went down there and he heard about this dream. And so the dream in verse 13 and 14, I think we'd already read that. We had this dream, and he said it was a barley cake rolling down that hill into a tent. I think if we can understand something, a barley cake, and I don't think it was a big, huge barley cake. I think it was a little barley cake. Just a little barley cake. That's what it was. And he rolled down this hill, and he went into the tent. Now, if you read this, and study this, when it talks about the tent, he's not talking about a little old pup tent. He's talking about a tent. It was the tent, the tent of the leader, the captain of the host, or maybe the king. It meant the power that was behind this army. This little barley cake was going to roll down there, and it was going to smash that tent. And so what was going on is he was showing him, and of course, I think the barley cake, as we will see, simply was an illustration of Gideon. Gideon's a little old barley cake that's going to come along and smash the host of the Midianites, the ten of the Midianites. And so that's the way God works. God says over in 1 Corinthians that he is choosing the weak things of this world to confound the mighty. See, then God gets the glory and the honor for it. See, we don't. And so these things that God asks us to do, and difficulties and mission impossibles, when it's all said and done, the reason we can get it done is because God will get the glory. It won't be us. It'll be the Lord that gets the glory. That's why he says, as Paul said in 2 Corinthians 12, my strength is made perfect in weakness. He talks about the people in the book of Hebrews in the 11th chapter, that in weakness they became weak, but gained victory through weakness. You see, we've got to learn it's not us. You know, one of the most difficult things, I believe, anyway, it's right up there, in when you're dealing with people on salvation, is getting to realize they're nothing. They're sinners. To really get them to understand that. You know, we're sinners. We're lost. And we can't do anything about it except believe. And you find people constantly wanting to try to add something to their salvation because they feel like they have to do something. No, you don't have to do anything. You can't do anything. In fact, till you become weak, you'll never be saved. And you come to that place where you realize you can't do anything, and you call upon the mercy and grace of God. You understand that? You see, it's God, because you see, he's the one that is honored through weakness. It's a little old barley cake rolling down that hill, smashing into the tent of the Midianites. And God was telling Gideon, that's the way it's going to be. You just need to go back and begin to get your army ready and get ready to go and do what I'm telling you to do. I want to show you something that's interesting. In verse 13, he said, and Gideon was come, behold, there was a man that told a dream unto his fellow and said, behold, I dreamed a dream, and lo, a cake of barley bread tumbled unto the host of Midian, and came unto a tent and smote it, that it fell and overturned it, that the tent lay along. Now you notice he called it a cake of barley bread. Now down in verse 14, and his fellow answered and said, this is nothing but save the sword of Gideon, the son of Joash. In verse 13, he calls it barley bread. In verse 14, he calls it a sword. This barley bread was a sword. What I think is interesting, that's exactly the way the word of God is referred to in the New Testament. It's referred to as the bread of life. Jesus is the bread. And not only that, it's the sword of the Spirit. And God said this little old barley cake down here is going to come down. It's the word of God, the power of the word of God. It's going to become a sword. Sword of the Spirit, it's the word of God. You see, you can't get around the power of God's word. And of course, let me say to you, Jesus is the word. He's the word of God. So I guess I want to say to you that I don't know what God has exactly put you in, or what troubles and heartaches you've had down through the years, and what he's called you to do and asked you to do. I don't know all those things, but I do know this. If you'll look for him all along the way, God gives encouragement. That's all I can just tell you. All I know is I can testify to it. God along the way has constantly given encouragement. Sometimes it seemed like the whole world was going to fall in. You ever been there? Like everything was going to just collapse. And all at once, God comes along and just gives encouragement. Maybe not. It's a lot of times it's just that still small voice. I remember a very difficult time early in my ministry, and I won't tell you all the things that was going on, but I was driving out of town, and I, once again, it's about the second time I'd ever done it, I screamed out to God and I said, God, I need help. I just need help. And all at once, it seems like just the presence of God came up on me and tears started running down my cheeks. And after that, it just was okay. I can't explain it. I'm just telling you it was okay because his presence came. He just loves us, and he gives us encouragement. Amen? Yeah. He's encouraged you, whether you know it or not. He has all along the way. You wouldn't be here today if he hadn't have. And then you know what is good about it is, what Gideon did next was in verse 15. Just listen. And it was so when Gideon heard the telling of the dream and the interpretation thereof, what did he do? That he worshipped and returned to the host. Greatest thing in the world we can do is worship God and give God the glory and the honor. You see, your service will not be done properly unless there's true worship before. Gideon worshipped and then went to battle. He wants us to worship God. And you know, our heart is not right, or our service right, until our relationship with God is right. You want God to help you, you and I better worship God. Recognize who he is. Amen. And give him full control. Give him full control. I don't care. You know, you can't do it yourself. You never will do it yourself. You need God. And we need to worship him and say, Lord, thank you. That's a habit we ought to do probably 100 times a day. Say, Lord, thank you. Thank you, Lord. And then go and serve him. Amen. Now remember, he always tries us. He always tests us. He's doing that to you and I today. Just mind him. Don't run from the problem. Face it. Let's pray. Father, thank you again today for your grace and goodness. Thank you that you love us. Thank you for caring for us. Help us, Lord, to be more like you. In Jesus' name.